Joan has a choice at the very beginning of the book, because she knows that she's been ratted. All right. She's been ratted out,
mm-hmm.
and she sees that people are getting out of a big black car and coming towards her door, and it's like, oh,
yeah.
And she could off herself, but she doesn't.
The setup is that there's another spy who she knows and who helped her in the past has died in his sleep, which makes. And he always said to her that's what he would do if he got found out. So at that point, she then believes she's in trouble and she has the same option. However, she doesn't choose to do that because she has her son, and she feels guilty about that, would feel terrible about doing that for him whilst leaving this cloud hanging over her if they are onto her. So she chooses not to do that, and I suppose I put that in order to make it clear that there was lots at stake. So I suppose it's a kind of device, in a sense.
It would have been a very short book.
Exactly. Well, yeah, not much would have happened. And I also wanted it to... Yeah, I suppose it was in to raise the stakes for her. Like, this is how bad it could feel to be found out. This is the other option, or she can try and... So then, for her, the challenge to start with is to... deny it and for not to let her son find out what she's actually done. And then at the point where she realises they know anyway, it's to explain and to justify and to say, but wouldn't you have done that? Because actually she, I guess, in a way prides herself on the fact that she did what she did for reasons that she still would hold to as moral.
One of my favorite bits, because it just seemed so real, was just a kind of a banal moment when they kind of break for lunch.
It's not that banal.
But they have this, no, you know, very, you know, because we're used to big heightened interrogation things from movies and James Bond and everything.
Yeah.
And instead, they've all just kind of taken off their professional hats.
And he says, do you want a kebab?
What are we going to have for lunch? Oh, there's a good kebab place. And it just kind of...
To start with, I'd never conceived of it as being one of those James Bondy type interrogations. And that's because I wanted it to be realistic. And because it was kind of based on... It was inspired by this story of Melita Norwood, who was quite famous in England. I don't know whether she would have been in Canada particularly, but she was outed in 1997 when she was 87, or 1999 and she was 87. And they basically said to her, we found out you were the longest serving KGB spy. She was secretary to the director of one of the components of the British Atomic Project, and they'd never identified her until this late stage when they went and found her, and then she gave a statement from her garden holding a piece of paper which she'd written on, saying, and she started off by saying, oh, sorry to have got you all out of bed on a Sunday, I didn't expect to see so many of you. So this kind of downplaying what you'd done, and this very kind of suburban domestic setting, which just really, it's struck me so much that someone could do, have this huge impact on world history, and yet, in a sense, everyone's life has this domestic setting, and that's the bit that you would be scared of disrupting. Once it becomes a kind of James Bond interrogation, it moves away from that, I don't know, that, for me, that sense of realism about how it would feel.
Yeah, I caused the Cold War, but don't step on my roses.
Yeah, exactly. But so so when I was researching it, I met up with someone who had been, he'd been researching, he's actually at Cambridge and had been doing a PhD in her family, but sort of old Russian connections. This is the real spy. And her family had been part of the sort of Tolstoyan community and had moved to England and very left-wing. And so he'd been researching that, and he was on his way to see her, changing buses in Milton Keynes, which, if you don't know, it isn't a particularly exciting place to change buses. And he saw on the front page of the newspaper her face, saying, spy, outed, da-da-da. And so he phoned her up and said, and she said, "Oh, I've been a bit of a naughty girl. You're probably better not come today." And so then he got the bus back. The next week he went to see her, because he'd been seeing her once a week to do this research and sort of go through various sort of old family files. And he turned up and they had, and he said every time we went they had fish fingers and chips from the freezer. And she had some Che Guevara mugs. And they would sit and have this same sort of talk. And just hearing that kind of domestic setting, and he saw her a week later and she was still saying, "Oh, I don't know what the Home Secretary's going to say. I'm like, I'm still in trouble." And, you know, and the statement she gave to the press basically said, "I did what I did for these because I wanted Russia to be in with a chance." She was still a committed communist at that point. But I did those things for these reasons, and I hope that if I were to find myself in the same circumstances with the same opportunities, I hope I would do it again. But I did it on my own. My husband didn't know what I did, and I don't remember anything else. Which I just, you know, that's why the kebab shop came into the novel. I guess it's an equivalent of frozen fish fingers.
The book is Red Joan, a novel. I've been speaking with the author Jenny Rooney, and Red Joan, published by Doubleday Canada.